If you have your Bibles now, Genesis chapter 2, we're going to go there in just a moment, but I want us to go back. We're talking these days. You can see over here on my right, your left, we've got a whole lot of bags over there. And we've been talking about the baggage that we carry around as Christians in our life. Many times there are things in our life that we just don't let go of. We've collected up a lot of baggage again in our lives. We're not as free as we used to be in Jesus. We're not doing as well as we used to do in serving the Lord. So these days I'm talking to our church and talking to all of our friends who have called themselves Christians to take your life back. Take your life back. So I want to illustrate it this morning with our friend, the baggage carrier. Let's play the video. Bring the lights down. We'll show them this. So there's nothing better than when you lay your baggage down, you lay your burdens down, even as a follower of Jesus. When you've collected up things in your life, whether it's doubts and fears and worries, the pains and struggles of life, it affects all of our relationships. And we come back to that simple thing, you know, the bag, the life bag. We go in through the narrow gate, as Jesus said. We walk on the narrow way so that we find joy in Jesus, the peace and the promise that He's given us. So why is it that so many Christians have gone away from the Lord? Why is it we live in our carnality? Why is it that things aren't what they ought to be? And we sometimes appear more like unbelievers than believers. It's because we've forgotten the life that Jesus has given us. We need to take our lives back. So this morning, we're going to talk about taking our marriages back. Last week, we talked about taking our time back. We talked about last week the importance in Ephesians chapter 5 of making every opportunity of all of our time. Now today, going right with that, we're going to look at our marriages. So before we do that, if you'll stand in honor of the reading of God's Word and read with me Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to begin this morning. As we look at God's Word and what it has to say about God's design for marriage. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the male to be alone, the man. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So the Lord caused, verse 21, a deep sleep to fall upon the male, the man. And he slept. And then he took one of his ribs, God took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God built or fashioned into a female woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "Wow, this is so much better than these animals." I just wanted to see if you were awake. It's really pretty true. I mean, he's been naming animals. Cow, chicken, you know, goat, alligator. But this creation is different. This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Female, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man, male. And then we have this very important verse, chapter 2, verse 24, which Jesus repeats. Jesus was very clear on what is real marriage, what marriage represents, how it is, how it works. For this cause, a male shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his female wife, and they shall become one flesh. Verse 25 is very important as it describes the way God designed marriage. And the male and his wife, the male and the female, were both naked and not ashamed. So, Lord, many of us who are married stand before you here today, and our marriages are in different shape. Some of us are here today and we're about to give up on our marriages. Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus, you would give power to these dear people who are here about to give up to take back their marriage. And Lord, I pray for all of us who are here who may feel that things are good, but we've let some things slide. We've been married a long time. May we take back our marriages. And may the marriages of the people of First Baptist Church Dixon be a model to our children and grandchildren, and also to those who are around us. May Jesus be honored and glorified through our lives, and may our marriages and may the way we live as a church in our community count for you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to begin with some questions. How's life? How's life for you? I asked these questions last week, probably will ask them each week, but they're very important for you, because if you have come to know Jesus, you made a commitment and you said your life is now His. Unless you were lying, unless you were just going through the motions, unless you're just living in hypocrisy. You said, I've chosen to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. So here's the question, whose life are you living now as a Christian? Whose life are you living? Whose time are you keeping? Whose goals are you achieving? And whose plans are you making? Those four questions are very important. They drive to the core of life. The way we live, the way we keep our time, the way we set our goals, and the things we plan for. Oh, we're all so busy. We're caught up. This is what happens in the world of Christians. We get caught up. We get squeezed, as we talked about last week, back into the world. You feel the pressure, don't you? This week, some of you went back to school, students. Some of you go to work. You feel the pressure. Feels different than when you sit here at First Baptist Church. The pressure. The pressure to conform. The pressure to go along. The pressure to quietly step back when people make fun of God's Word, the church, preaching, all of these things that seem to matter. So how's your life? How's your life with Jesus? Have you made progress in all that you're busy about doing? Going here and there and fro and to and running and twirling around and spinning and going at such a maddening race. How's life? How's life? Well, let me ask it a little more specifically. For those of you who are married, how's married life? How's married life? You see, when you take your life back, you not only take your time back and make the most of opportunities, but here's one of those chances. If you're married, you take the most of your opportunity in your marriage. So with that said, let me talk about a couple of things that I think are important in how does it look to take back your marriage. Well, first of all, we take our marriage back when we live by God's design for marriage. So here we are in Genesis chapter 2, these very important words. For this cause a man leaves his father and mother, he cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. Two becoming one. And the man and the wife were both naked and unashamed. No shame. No shame. Perfectly open with each other, completely transparent. Everything was open between the two of them. Nothing between them. No shame. No hiddenness. No lying. No falsehood. So with that said, what are some of these ideals? This design of marriage was given to us for a very good purpose. Well, here's what I want you to think about. One man, one woman for life. Not one man, one woman at a time. Did you get that? Not one at a time. One man, one woman for life. Sex after marriage only. Sex after marriage. I got cut off. Let me make sure you heard me. Sex after marriage only with your single spouse for life. Procreation, bringing children into this world. Lifelong companionship. We read in Genesis 2:18, God saw man, the male, and he said, it's not good for him to be by himself. You see, these things are lost somehow in our world. I've said to you several times as your pastor that if you know, certain people, here's the way they define reality and truth. If you live a certain way long enough, that becomes truth. That's not what the Bible says, however. The Bible gives us the standard. You see, everybody's whining and crying about the exception. Everybody wants to know, well, what's the exception? And when you talk about the exceptions all the time, you forget the rule, the standard. So God has made it very clear. The Word of God is clear from the very beginning of all mankind and humankind. It's one man, one woman for life. Sex after marriage only. You know what I've decided? I've decided that I made a big mistake. As a pastor of this church, I haven't talked about sex enough. That didn't work for this crowd. So we're going to talk about sex in the days ahead. That ought to get a crowd in here. You're much more reserved than the last hour. Oh, yeah. Apparently you're listening to everything but the Bible. Apparently, you've turned on the news and you've gotten it. And I hate to break the news to you. I'm going to go ahead and give you some information. This is going to probably shock some of you today. I don't want to shock you and upset you too much, but here's the message. Everything on the internet is not true. You got it? All right. Everything you Google is not true. But we believe, as followers of Jesus, that every word of this book is true. This becomes our standard. This becomes the guide. This is what we talk about. This is the way we live our lives. So the state of marriage today, I really want to encourage you a little bit about this. Recently I was reading a book about marriage and I discovered some things that I thought I'd share with you that I think are very encouraging about marriage today, the state of marriage today. Rita, put that slide up that shows us all these statistics. So here we have it. Did you know that in spite of what you hear on TV, what you Google, what you listen to on the internet, what you read, from all of those who seem to know everything about nothing, that there actually are a lot of people who've been married a long time. 77%, you know, we've heard all these people get up and talk about, well, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. That's not accurate according even to the statistics the United States keeps. Now, I will say in the days ahead, now that the government has found a better way to define marriage, it could change in the way those are. But up until now, when there was reality and realism and not this fantasy world that doesn't really exist, there was a way to track marriages. 77% of all married people are still married to the person they started with. 20% of all marriages do end in divorce, and that's a sad and hard thing. For those who go to church, the divorce rate drops an additional 20 to 25%. So there's good news about marriage. So I thought we'd do something. We've done this in every hour. I wish I would have been able to video it because it's such a powerful illustration of the good that's going on in marriage. So let's look at this for a minute. Now here, I'm going to give you the warning. I've had to do this the last 2 hours. I'm about to ask you to stand in your marriage based on how many years you've been married. So if you're sitting next to your spouse, I saw a bunch of people panicking in the last 2 hours. They're trying to figure out what the number is. Do you know how many years? What are we supposed to do? So calculate it up for a minute. Everybody ready? I'm looking around. You're pretty much ready. If you've been married, now I'm going to do this in decades, all right? Everybody with me? Okay. So if you've been married 10 years or less, would you please stand? Come on, get up. All right, stay standing. If you've been married 10 to 20 years, would you stand? All right, now I want us to keep looking around. And you people in the balcony can't see below here, but there's a lot of people already standing up. If you've been married 20 to 30 years, stand up. Even more, up in the balcony. If you've been married 30 to 40 years, stand up. Man, I'm in that group. I've been married a long time to Pat. Look what Pat's put up with for all these years. Bless her heart. Bless your wife's heart. Give that right back to you. If you've been married 40 to 50 years, would you stand? Another group. If you've been married 50 to 60 years, would you stand up? Another group. If you've been married 70 to 80 years, would you stand up? All right, we found our lid. How about this? Now look around. Let's give everybody a hand here for their marriages. All right, you may be seated. So if I'm a young adult and I'm not married, you got plenty of people to check out around here. You can get advice from people, and it's better than what you're going to get on a newscast. It's better than what you're going to hear from Tom Brokaw. He's not around anymore, is he? Whoever the news people are. Now, I don't listen to all of that, so I don't know who talks about all that craziness on TV. So you're going to have to decide the choice from whom you get your information. You got to decide. Some of you need to take your life back. You need to wake up. You've been living, like I said last week, like Rip Van Winkle. You woke up the next day and everything was different. Where have you been? Christians, wake up. Wake up. Live for Jesus in the day in which we live. Don't be rocked asleep by the lies of the world. Don't be rocked asleep by our culture that doesn't understand. Listen, if people don't know Jesus, I don't expect them to understand what I'm talking about. They don't know Jesus yet. But if you know the Lord, shame on you when you go back to your own ways. Take your life back. Take your marriage back. So we learn this morning from this very important passage that first, we live by God's design. One man, one woman for life. No sex before marriage. Sex is only with my mate after marriage for life. And because of this, we learn also that God's given us some roles. So if you turn in Ephesians 5 for just a moment, I want you to see again what the Bible says about our roles in marriage. How does marriage work? So if it's one man, one woman for life, how is this supposed to work? Well, when you go to Ephesians chapter 5, you discover that the Bible describes it. And I put it here in summary on the screen. So you live in a God-designed role in your marriage. Now listen, I want you to hear Pastor Mike here. I want you to listen to me. You know, the ministers and the pastors in this church and the time I've worked in the church, in talking with people, this is on either God's design for marriage or on the role of marriage. This is where people, the wheels come off in marriages. This is when it all starts to fall apart. So the Bible says that there are two roles. There's the role of the female in marriage and there's the role of the male. There's the role of the female and there's the role of the male. There's the role of the husband, the wife, the man and the woman. So the Bible says, wives, be subject. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. So I want to put a diagram up on the screen that I think helps us see this in an easy way. as we think about the roles in marriage, so what is it that pulls marriage together in its parts? What brings marriage together in its parts are these four words that we see highlighted in Ephesians 5. Loving sacrificially each other. Agapeo, loving each other sacrificially. Caring, respecting, and submission. The man carries out primarily two roles. Doesn't mean he doesn't do other things in the relationship. And the woman carries out two roles. So sometimes we get into these discussions and we'll teach on the Bible and what the Bible says about these roles, and it gets caught up in culture, and we get to talking about things about what we don't like. Well, we don't like it. So one time this lady said to me very forcefully, well, I just don't have any, I don't have any appreciation for submitting to my husband. And I thought, well, okay, I guess you don't. And I've heard men say, well, you know, I can't love my wife like Jesus loved the church. Yes, you can. So loving and caring, men, loving and caring for your wife is not an optional idea. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just something that it might be good to work on. You model for your children and grandchildren the reality of what it means for love and care to be exhibited. That's what men in this room are supposed to do. Man up. Do what you're supposed to do. Do your job. Love your wife. Love your wife and care for your wife. Women, respect your husband and submit to him. You see, we run to the exception. Wait. I'm not talking about exceptions today, folks. I'm talking about the rule. I'm talking about what God's Word said. But I know these people. Don't know you're going the wrong. You're running a rabbit. You're running after rabbits. Don't chase a rabbit. Hear the Word of God as it's clear. So in this, notice the lines are all pointing to one another and it's moving together. This is what we do in a marriage. It's about loving and caring and respecting and submitting and submitting and caring and respecting and loving. And it's mutual and we work together and we love one another. And there are a number of people. There are a number of people in this room. You've been married for enough time. You've discovered the truth of that. The truth of this connecting together, being joined together. But I must quickly talk about some things to warn you of what I would call marriage wreckers, destroyers, marriage destroyers. Now, I'm going to be old-fashioned preacher here for just a minute. And that's all right. Look, it's already past time for us to usually go. And like I say always, you're going to be late to the restaurant. So just get over it. Just listen to the sermon and enjoy it. It's 11:36 and 52 seconds, all right? I need to finish. I need you to hear me. Marriage wreckers. You know, we've got many, many people who are part of First Baptist Church. And I don't think I'm exaggerating if I say this to you. At any one time, and I think that our pastors could prove this out if we talk to them about it. At any one time, there's a number of our people who sit in our church services, who come to worship, who go to Bible study, and they're just about to give up on their marriage. They're just about to give up. You need to take your marriage back. Don't let anything destroy your marriage. Those of you who aren't married, go to school on these people who've stayed married. Pay attention to what we have to say. But I want to talk about sex some more, since that seems to be the most obsessive, dominating topic of our culture. Sexual activity outside of marriage is called adultery. Sexual activity outside of your marriage with anybody else than your mate is adultery. Am I in a dream? Am I having to stand here in 2015 and define these terms? Am I really alive here? Are you people really real, or is this a mirage? I must be real. Yep, I am. Okay. I want you to know the Bible says that if you have sex with anybody beyond your mate, you have committed adultery. That's what the Bible says. Sexual affairs emotional attachment to people other than your mate. Oh, well, this person, he's just such a lovely person. He's so nice to me. And we're drawn together. And from drawing ourselves together, these relationships then lead to sexual immorality, pornography, all of these things. We could have gone on for hours on this. I'm stating it to say to you, sexual activity outside of marriage is adultery. It dishonors God. It pulls you away from the Lord. It breaks the Holy Spirit's power in your life. It divides you from your mate. It's not what you want to do. Forget what you see on the television. Forget all of this that is pushed on you from the world, from the culture. You have to decide how much of this world you really want to take. How much of this poison do you want to put in your mind? And then while we're talking about this, for those who are not married here, I want you to listen to old Pastor Mike here. It doesn't do you any good. Well, I just love this person, so I'm going to have sex with them. No, wrong, bad, no. That's not loving somebody. Regardless of what the culture has taught us about love. Well, love means to go have sex with somebody. No, sexual activity prior to marriage, premarital sex, let me tell you, the lives of people, the marriages of people have been ruined. You know, I've talked to you about being Pastor Mike and walking among the ruins of broken people. Many of them, it starts right here. So somebody told me one day about Dixon. You know, I'm happy to hear information about Dixon. They said, well, you know, Pastor Mike, a lot of the students are sexually active in Dixon. They don't have anything else to do. And I just looked at them. I thought, are you serious what you're telling me? So kids are so bored, instead of, you know, going bowling, you're going to go have sex? Well, that means that some moms and dads aren't paying attention. Are you listening to me today? I'm worked up. This is the third time I've had to say this. Sexual activity before your marriage, you people, you students and you others who are in here who haven't gotten married, let me tell you, you connect yourself to somebody before marriage, and that's not the person, or it is the person, you bring into your marriage what God only designed for you to bring to the marriage with one other person for life. That's the standard. That's the standard, not the exceptions. Well, what are we going to do about all the exceptions? You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, and we're going to find help for the exceptions, but we're going to lift up and hold up in the church, among God's people, the standard. And there's not any business any of you have who are not in marriage having sex with anybody. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself or herself to a harlot or to another, listen to the Bible, is one body with her? Okay, well, so I'm going to try my, you know, I've been instructed in this illustration for the last 2 hours. We always have a lot of helpful people who come to help Pastor Mike. But I'm going to try my best to do this illustration. The Bible says that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Okay, newsflash. In the Bible, when it says the two will become one flesh, that means they have sex. Okay? There you go. A man shall leave his father and mother, and they shall cleave, and he shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's God's way of describing the most amazing thing he's ever invented for marriage. It's called sex. The world perverts, twists, and destroys, along with the devil, everything God creates. And it devolves and falls apart. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two, if I can do this, and the two become one flesh. Here we go. Here we are. One flesh. The two become one flesh. And they live together and they learn about each other. And when you're mutually joined together in this very intimate way, you share your emotions and your feelings and your will and all of your inner person is exposed and shared with that person, and the two of you become one flesh. One flesh. And so when any time, if anything ever breaks my relationship and I go to someone else, you know, this is the thing. We take that with us. You see, the tape is never the same. When I've been joined to my wife, taking that and joining myself to another, it's never right. This is why people will sit and say to me, Pastor Mike, I can't get over so-and-so and this person, and I have all these feelings about them. And I have, because sex and sexual activity in a marriage ties and connects us together. It is God's design. To take that out of that relationship destroys your relationship, and it leads to shame. It leads to guilt. And you can't get that person off your mind. Students, stay pure. Stay pure until you're married. I know some of you are looking at me saying, is that a dinosaur up there talking on the stage? Is that a man from the ancient world talking to me? No. No, you've been asleep. You've been asleep. You've been rocked to sleep by the lies of a world. And how about this? So I'll sit in an office and somebody, and I do love for people to come, and I want to pray with all of our people. So someone will say to me, Pastor Mike, can I come talk to you about my marriage? Sure, I'm happy to do it. So we come and we sit down and talk, and I put it on the bottom here, selfishness, neglect, and abandonment. So here will be things that I'll hear from people. Well, Pastor Mike, I wanted to talk to you about my marriage. Okay. Well, I just don't feel the way I used to feel about this person. Oh, okay. Well, there's something inside that isn't right. I mean, do you need to take some medicine or something? You have a stomach ache, or did you eat too much Mexican food over at Las Palmas or something? What? I just don't feel like this person can fulfill my needs. Okay. Well, I have a lot of other things to do, and this person just demands all of my time. Yeah, pretty much. That's the way it works. You and that person for life. That's the agreement. Not one at a time. Not when they get ugly, you get a pretty one. Oh, I'm talking the truth here. Not trading one in for another because, you know, this one's kind of outdated and, you know, after all, I mean, hey. You know. Busy, busy with life. Pastor Mike, we've just grown apart. We don't have anything in common. Except children, grandchildren, everything you own, church relationships. I'm talking about Christians that come talk to me. I'm not talking about people who don't know Jesus, and bless their hearts, they really are trying to understand how to live life. Now, that's a whole different issue. I'm talking about people who are Christians who need to take their marriage back. But they live, they're right on the edge, and the marriage destroyers are right there. Are right there. So when you think about that, how do we get our marriage back? Well, in Ephesians 4, last thing quickly, and I'm just going to highlight these on the screen, we'll be done. We learn that really the answer is being Jesus to our spouse. It's the thing we talk about doing in this community. It's the thing we talk about all the time here. Being Jesus to each other, but it's being Jesus to our spouse. We take our marriage back when we seek to be Jesus to our spouse. And over in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about this very clearly and gives us an outline. Rita, go to that next slide. The next slide, I've kind of outlined these for you. Truthfulness and honesty with each other. Truthfulness and honesty. Unashamed and naked. Unashamed and naked. Expressing your anger without sinning. Don't let the sun go down on your anger is what Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. Avoiding stealing from each other. You know, Paul says to us, don't steal from one another. How about this? How do you steal from your mate? Well, you steal when you take your time and you give it to other people besides your mate. You're stealing from your mate. You're stealing when you give away your trust from your mate. You're stealing when you're not willing to give your body to your mate. By the way, the Bible tells us that when you're joined to another, your body becomes theirs. It's no longer yours. You're stealing when you won't commit and give your heart to your mate. Guarding your words. Hurtful words are a hurtful thing. We've talked about that a lot. Hurt people hurt people. They say terrible things. Angry things. And so Paul says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving. As God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus, forgive others. So the last thing I want to remind, and there was a whole bunch of us who stood up, I want to remind you of what some preacher did with you at some point in your life in the past. He talked to you about promises. Promises. You remember where you were when you got married? You stood in front of God and a group of people, and you made commitments. You made commitments. Marriage is only as good as our word. And we said, for better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. For as long as you both shall live. For as, maybe the preachers ought to do this from now on. For as long as you both shall live. All right, that'd be good. Till at death you part. So some of you need to take back your marriage. You've been drifting away. One of the things that I require of all of our young adults who get married is that they go sit down and talk with a couple in our church that's been married over 50 years. I call it the thrill is gone conversation. Why are you all laughing? You think that's true? The thrill is gone conversation. The thrill is gone. You know why we do it? That's why we have an intergenerational church. That's why we the older help the younger with modeling and examples. Instead of going to all these other outside experts who don't know anything, who call darkness light and light darkness, who lie and do not the truth. Instead of going to all these outside sources and submitting our children to all of these people who are going to tell them things that are crazy and ridiculous and untrue, we go to God's Word and we find people who know what it means to live together and to love each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. In fact, if you're married, just look at that person next to you. Now look at that person right there. Can you believe that? That's who you said I do to. I think that's a good thing, isn't it? I do. You said I do. I will. You made a commitment. You made a commitment on your word. Oh, Pastor, everybody's going to run to the exceptions. You're running to everything else. Don't go there. Go to the standard. Go to the way God made it. Go to the way God designed it. Yes, sin gets in the way. Broken relationships happen. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about God's standard. One man, one woman, for life. Living in relationship, naked and unashamed. And growing until the very end together. In Jesus' name. Amen. When we do that, we model for people more than anything else what they need. They need to see families of peace and grace and love. That's what they need. And may Jesus make us a church filled with marriages that honor Jesus, and that other people can see in us a difference. Well, thank you for listening. We've gone a long time today, but I want to say, this is so important. If you're about to quit your marriage, take it back. Take it back. Don't go there. It's not a place you want to go. The Lord will help you. He'll help your spouse. Don't go there. Take your marriage back.